Before I begin the message this morning, Kayla wanted me to share a quick word that is in the bulletin, in the order of worship, that we did not mention. And that is that next Sunday evening, we will have a meeting where you can get a lot of questions answered about the renovation and how you can be a part of it. It will be in the area to be renovated. It will be in the old nursery area. And so we invite you to come and be a part of that. It is at 6 o'clock next Sunday evening. I also want to say a word that I'd like for us all to be in prayer. Several of our church family members have lost loved ones this week, and we want to remember Wanda Palmer at the death of her sister, Toby Avery, Joe Phillips on the death of his brother, Stan Phillips, and Carol Whited on the death of her mother, Carolyn Watson. I know you will want to be in touch with them and let them know of your love and of your prayers. Let me ask you, have you ever gone through an experience and wondered how you were going to get through it? Maybe it was a very difficult time, an illness, a loss of a job, a move away from family and friends. Whatever the circumstance, you wondered if you were going to get through it, how you were going to get through it, when you were going to get through it, how long it was going to take to get through or to readjust, and what it was going to do in your life. I heard the testimony of someone recently who had been through a terrific illness. She said she asked many of these same questions. After she'd come through on the other side of the journey, she said she had a new perspective on a lot of things. For one thing, she said she would never take a day for granted. That she had learned what a gift each and every day is. For another thing, she said she realized that she personally did not have the strength to get through such a time as that on her own. And she had learned to lean on God even more than ever before. As a result, now she celebrates every day and seeks to live each day to the fullest for her Lord. And she seeks God's guidance and God's strength to see her through whatever comes. The experience gave her a new perspective on life. For some of us, it's going through a difficult experience that gives us a new perspective. For others of us, it might be an aha moment that comes in the midst of our Bible study or our quiet time, or that comes when we go through an intensely spiritual time like an Emmaus walk or a Kairos weekend. And for still others, it might be a joyous event, like the birth of a child or a wedding. I recently saw a father on Facebook with a picture of him holding his first child, and he said, "I knew I could love my wife, I knew I could love my parents, I knew I could love other folks, but I never knew love like this." He had a whole new perspective. To be fair, perspectives can be changed for the worse, too. A bad experience might cause us to shy away from further efforts. It can leave us bitter or cause us to withdraw. We aren't told much about the 10 lepers who are in our scripture today. Just that Jesus encountered them on the road between Galilee and Samaria on his way to Jerusalem. as was customary, the law in fact, they stood at a distance. The law was there because true leprosy is a very contagious disease. No one wants to catch it. And so when you were found to have leprosy, or even thought that you might have leprosy, you were sent away, exiled from your community, so that no one else would catch it from you. Most lepers found others with leprosy with whom they could live in colonies or in groups that moved about. If, however, your skin condition cleared and it turned out it was not leprosy, you could go and present yourself to a priest. That priest would have to look at your clear skin to be sure that you were healed, and then they could declare you healed, and you could move back into regular society. So being diagnosed with leprosy was a scary and lonely kind of situation in which to find yourself. Can you imagine having to shout, "Unclean, unclean," every time you saw someone coming? That's what they had to do, to notify other people that they didn't want to get close. I can only imagine how it would begin to affect your sense of self, the way you would feel about yourself, your future, and your prospects. After warning the other that you were unclean, usually lepers would then ask for some food, or some clothing, or something else that might help them get through their days. They were reduced basically to begging to get by. In the case of our story today, the lepers didn't yell "unclean," but rather they yelled, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They clearly knew of Jesus. They probably knew of his power to heal. They had heard, maybe even witnessed, his great compassion. So instead of warning him off or begging for a bit of food, they asked for his mercy. I can't help but wonder what they hoped that might mean. What do you suppose mercy meant to them? Do you suppose they hoped for healing? Or for some other way in which Jesus might make their life a little more bearable? The scripture is sparse in details in this story. Jesus told them to go and show themselves to the priest. And as they moved toward the priest, they were cleansed. Their skin was healed. They no longer had leprosy. There were no longer sores on their hands, no longer dying flesh on their body. Soon they would be able to be back with family and friends, to start life again, to pick up with relationships, maybe even to pick up with their careers. What joy! I have a sense that they didn't just move slowly toward the priest, particularly as they saw their skin clearing. I have a sense they began to run to the priest to be able to show that they were healed. Skin cleared, though, one of the lepers turned back. He turned back to Jesus and began to praise God with a loud voice. Luke says he fell on the ground at Jesus' feet and worshiped him, thanking him for the healing that he had received. Now, as I said, there's not a lot that we know about these people. But what we do know about the man who turned back is that he was healed. We also know that he was a foreigner, a Samaritan, not a Jew. And we know that he stopped to thank Jesus for the healing he had experienced. And we also know that Jesus took note. First, Jesus turned to his disciples and asked them, were not 10 healed? What happened to the other 9? Only this one, this man, that Jesus makes sure we know was a Samaritan, a foreigner, came back to say thanks. Why is it important that we know that? Because Jews and Samaritans normally hated each other. They did not worship together. They did not worship in the same places. They did not worship in the same ways. The Jews felt the Samaritans were not faithful to God. And the Samaritans resented the Jews' superior caste. Yet this man placed his faith in God through Jesus Christ. And Jesus said it was his faith that had made him well. Whole is another way we can interpret or translate that word. You see, something profound happened in him. He was more than just healed on the outside. He was made whole in his soul. Something about coming back and praising God and thanking Jesus. He was made whole. How often we see folks who are not perhaps made well physically and yet are whole on the inside. It is well with their soul. Just as sometimes we see folks who are healed on the outside, but it is not ever well with their soul. This man received both. He experienced healing on the outside and a wholeness, a wellness to his soul. I love the way that Jesus breaks down expected barriers too. He's willing to encounter the lepers. He doesn't seem repelled by them, disgusted by them, or afraid of them like so many others. He cared for each of them. And he cares for the Samaritan man. And the Samaritan man believes in him, even though they came from different places and different cultures. Jesus shows care for the Samaritan man. And in response, the Samaritan man places his faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus can make us whole. It can help us see beyond the surface differences we face. It can help us overcome fear. Faith in Jesus can make us whole as persons and as a body of Christ. Faith in this case was lived out through Jesus' directions. He said, go, show yourselves to the priest. Now, there was no reason for them to go to the priest to show themselves except to be declared clean. They had already been declared unclean. No priest would even see them unless there was a chance that they had been made clean. Unless. I love the fact that on that hope, all 10 went. But when he saw what had taken place, as he went, this one man returned to Jesus. Because Jesus was the only religious authority who mattered to him then. He came back, worshiped at Jesus' feet, and Jesus declared him healed and whole. I wonder how often we obey Jesus' directions that readily. The lepers followed Jesus' direction, not knowing what would happen when they went. How How often do we read Jesus' word to care for someone who's different than we? Or for someone we've been taught to disregard and follow Jesus' word to show care and regard to them? How often do we hear Jesus say, "Go into the world and teach everyone everything that I've taught you," and think, "That's a great idea, I'll do it"? Or do we think, "That's a great idea, a good job for someone else"? How often do we hear Jesus' words to forgive, so many times that we forget to count? And what we forget to do is forgive that other person. And then we're frustrated that we don't experience the blessings of wholeness that come from Jesus working in our lives. We're frustrated by our own brokenness. And yet Jesus wants to make us whole. It is often our own failure to trust God and to follow Jesus that keeps us broken. We'll trust self-help books and friends and popular gurus. We'll try outlandish things, when what we really need to do is to stop, to put our faith in Christ and then follow him where he leads. And when we do follow Jesus' teaching, Jesus' direction, and experience the wholeness that Jesus brings, how often do we stop to say thanks? Do we say, "That's great for me," and go on about our lives? Do we keep running to find someone else to verify and validate what has happened for us? Or do we stop to thank God? Every day is a good day to thank God for what God has done in our lives. And brothers and sisters, God has done so much. Through Jesus Christ, God has come to heal our brokenness and draw us back to God. Through Christ, God has forgiven our sins, no matter what they are, no matter how bad we've been, no matter how good we think we've been, no matter what we've done or failed to do, Jesus has forgiven our sins. And let's not deceive ourselves. Scripture tells us all have sinned. Jesus invites us to turn from our sins and receive his forgiveness. And then Jesus teaches us what we need to know to live full and whole lives. Lives that reflect him, lives that give glory to God, lives that are marked by love and peace and humility, lives that radiate hope and faith and compassion. He's taught us how to live with each other and how to love God. It's all here in his word. And he has opened to us eternal life. Eternal life in loving relationship with God. That's a lot to say thanks about. Have you said thank you to God today? You see, whatever we've been through, or whatever we're going through, or whatever we ever will face, Christ is with us and will see us through. He forgives us. He heals us and makes us whole. And he gives us life. Let us give him our thanks and praise. Will you bow with me? Lord God, we do thank you and praise you for all that you have done in our lives. Lord God, as we give ourselves to you, we ask that you would make us whole and receive our thanks for it all. In the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.